Don't worry about anything, but in everything by prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. And the peace of God, which passes all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. Philippians chapter 4, verses 6 and 7. Thanks for listening today. This is the Hour of Intercession. I'm Pastor Joseph Parker. We invite you to look with us in the Gospel of Matthew, Matthew chapter 28, beginning at verse 1. Now, after the Sabbath, as the first day of the week began to dawn, Mary Magdalene and the other Mary came to see the tomb. And behold, there was a great earthquake, and an angel of the Lord descended from heaven and came and rolled back the stone from the door and sat on it. His countenance was like lightning, and his clothing as white as snow. And the guards shook for fear of him and became like dead men. But the angel answered and said to the women, "Do not be afraid, for I know that you seek Jesus who was crucified. He is not here, for he is risen, as he said. Come see the place where the Lord lay, and go quickly and tell his disciples that he is risen from the dead, and indeed he is going before you into Galilee. There you will see him. Behold, I have told you." So they went out quickly from the tomb with fear and great joy and ran to bring his disciples word. And as they went to tell his disciples, behold, Jesus met them, saying, "Rejoice!" So they came and held him by the feet and worshiped him. Then Jesus said to them, "Do not be afraid. Go and tell my brethren to go to Galilee, and there they will see me." Now while they were going, behold, some of the guard came into the city and reported to the chief priests all the things that had happened. When they had assembled with the elders and consulted together, they gave a large sum of money to the soldiers, saying, "Tell them, his disciples came at night and stole him away while we slept. And if this comes to the governor's ears, we will appease him and make you secure." So they took the money and did as they were instructed, and this saying is commonly reported among the Jews until this day. Then the 11 disciples went away into Galilee, to the mountain which Jesus had appointed for them. When they saw him, they worshipped him, but some doubted. And Jesus came and spoke to them, saying, "All authority has been given to me in heaven and on earth. Go therefore and make disciples of all the nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all things that I have commanded you. And lo, I am with you always, even to the end of the age. Amen." All of Matthew chapter 28. Father, we thank you, Lord, for the wonderful news of the fact that our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ came into the world. He lived. He died on the cross to pay for our sins. And 3 days later, he rose up from the dead so that we could be saved. And thank you for the privilege that you've given us. We, your servants, who you've saved and made brand new. You've called us to be a part of your army, a part of your work and your kingdom, as we have the privilege of carrying the gospel into the world and making disciples where we go. Lord, stir in us in a great and a mighty way, a greater understanding of the need for us to faithfully do exactly what you've called us to do, to go into all the world and make disciples. Help us to be faithful in the corner where you've placed us, and help us to recognize that there are many ways that we can help to carry that out as we simply listen to your Spirit and your Word and do it. Thank you for the privilege and the commission. Help us to live to be faithfully carrying it out every day. In Jesus' name we do pray. Amen. Our producer is Rick Robertson, and he's going to share a word of prayer with us at this time.
Father, we love you today. We lift high your name today. We exalt you. We're thankful that we have this relationship with you. Father, it's encouraging to think about the fact that your kingdom is advancing, that you are doing a work all around the world. And Father, we pray for our listeners today that you would give them clarity of mind as they listen, that they would receive what you have to say to them, that they would take it and run with it at a pace that brings you much honor and much glory. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen. Thank you, Rick. And thank you for being a part of our listening family. We want to continue to remind you that just in a few days, we'll be having our spring share-a-thon coming up on the dates May 19th through the 21st. And we ask that you'd please take time to pray for the Lord to anoint and bless and prosper this event. Pray that the Lord will use it to save people, to encourage them in their walk with the Lord, and pray that the Lord will bless and prosper this event spiritually and financially. If you'd pray and lift this event up, we would really, really appreciate it. And of course, we appreciate your prayers for the American Family Association as a whole, and for the broadcast, the Hour of Intercession as well, too. And Also, keep in mind, my email is jparker@afa.net. Again, that's jparker@afa.net. And if you'd like to email us to get some of the prayer tools and discipleship tools we provide, please do, because we'd like for you to have the use of them to help you grow and grow stronger in your walk with the Lord. But also, remember, they're discipleship tools. When you get them, you're not only encouraged to use them for you and your family, but please pass them on, because that's a way that you and I can partner together to make disciples, because these are very helpful discipleship tools to help others to grow in their walk with the Lord and in their relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ. So hope you'll do that. Again, the email is jparker@afa.net. Please email us to get those resources to help you in your walk with the Lord. We're honored and blessed today to have as our phone guest Michael Johnson. He's the president of the Slavic Gospel Association. Michael, how are you today?
I'm doing fantastic. Thank you.
Well, thank you for coming on with us. And I would mention, just to be very candid here, I'd never heard of the Slavic Gospel Association until a few days ago, but to learn the little that I've learned about it in reading, it's exciting to see the great things God is doing through you and your ministry. So would you take time to further introduce yourself and tell our listeners what the Slavic Gospel Association is all about and its mission?
Well, thank you, and thank you so much for the opportunity to share the great work that God is doing through this ministry with your listeners, and we're just praying that it'll be a blessing to them.
Yes, sir.
Our ministry was established in 1934 by an immigrant from the country of Belarus who came here as a young man. His father put him on a ship and sent him to America so that he could find a job and send money back so that the family could survive a famine that they were experiencing during those years. When he came to America, he went to Chicago, and folks from the Moody Church in Chicago connected with him, led him to a saving faith in Christ, and he developed a tremendous passion for the gospel, the proclamation of the gospel, as well as prayer. In 1934, he established the Slavic Gospel Association, recognizing the persecution that his fellow Christians were under as atheistic communism began to ramp up in those countries. And our ministry was involved in a number of things, but principally the covert distribution of books and Bibles to the churches and to the Christians there. But also, we had a significant radio ministry where we were broadcasting Christian radio programming 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, in and around through the Iron Curtain. And God blessed that ministry in many ways, as believers would sit in their basements or in their attics and secretly listen to those broadcasts, because it was through this ministry that the Word of God was kept alive in the Christian communities and in the churches, and God blessed it greatly. Peter prays entire adult life that God would bring the walls of communism down so that freedom would come, so that the gospel would be proclaimed. And he died in 1987, a couple of years later. Or he went to be with the Lord in 1987. A couple of years later, God answered his prayer, and God miraculously brought the walls of communism down so that the gospel could be freely proclaimed throughout those countries. So our ministry today... Our ministry today is we're involved in, we're connected with roughly 6,320 churches throughout the 10 countries of the former Soviet Union, through the largest group of Protestant evangelical churches, which is called the Union of Evangelical Christians Baptist Churches in those countries. And we help them in training their pastors, and we also secure sponsors and we sponsor hundreds of national church planting missionaries and their families who are sent out into previously unreached towns and villages to plant new churches. And then we equip them with resources to meet both the physical and the spiritual needs of the people in their communities so that the light of the gospel could be proclaimed in many of these areas that are particularly dark areas throughout the various segments of the population in those countries, whether it be people suffering in the war zone, people suffering the ongoing effects of Chernobyl, the hundreds of thousands of children living in orphanages, people struggling, but bottom line, people who need the gospel. And these are people have tremendous passion for the proclamation of the gospel, and it's just a privilege that we have to be able to serve them.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Well, Michael, would you take a moment now specifically to pray for listeners to really have ears to hear what the Lord would say to them, in that They are those listeners who the Lord would have them to become intercessors or prayers for you, some financial givers and some maybe both and maybe other ways too. But pray that God would help them to hear what the Lord would have them to hear and to respond as he would have them to respond today.
I would love to do that, but I would like to share a story first,
okay,
and then I'd like to pray. Can I do that?
Yes, go right ahead.
This is an example. This is a story that we received from a church planter who was ministering in a country in the former Soviet Union.
Okay.
In the midst of this coronavirus crisis. I'm just going to share this with you now.
Okay.
These are the words sent to us by a faithful SGA-sponsored missionary pastor in Belarus in the midst of the COVID-19 crisis. Whatever difficult times we encounter, the opportunity to preach the gospel is always there, and God sends us these opportunities. It is our joy to speak today of the greatness of God among his faithful church, Pastor Sergei goes on to write. Today, our world has shown how vulnerable it is, how fragile a person's life is on earth. Many people live around us, our neighbors, co-workers, familiar people, or maybe even strangers, and they all need salvation. The Lord Jesus did not cancel the Great Commission in our trials, and we are obliged to fulfill it in life circumstances. He will send us protection and give us strength for the gospel. Recently, people moved close to our church, and they are experiencing many difficulties. Valeri is a former musician, and his wife Masha worked as a seamstress. But they both lost their jobs and began to work at a farm. Valeri got a job as a ranch hand and Masha as a milkmaid. They were promised housing and good salary, but received neither. They live in an old, dilapidated house. Their salary is that of beggars. They cannot even buy a small propane tank to cook their food, and therefore cook outside as in primitive times. I met them, and our church began to bring them groceries and when possible. When they had time, I tried to put the word of God into their ears. Valeri and Masha do not resist and enjoy listening to everything that I tell them. Sometimes I managed to read them passages from the Bible. I gave them the Bible. They were delighted. Valeri said, "I have long dreamed of holding the Bible in my hands, and now I have the opportunity to read it. It is in such difficult times that people hunger for hope, the hope that God brings them through his word and life-changing gospel of Jesus Christ." Let me pray.
Okay.
Heavenly Father, this is just one example of just the struggles and the experiences that are people going through half a world away in the countries of the former Soviet Union. And I know that people in this country are experiencing the same thing. And I know that there are people listening right now whose lives have been impacted by this virus, some of whom may have lost their jobs, some of whom may have lost loved ones as a result of the virus, some of whom may be experiencing financial difficulties, and many of whom are questioning their own lives. They're questioning their purpose, they're questioning their meaning, and they're questioning what would happen if they were to catch the virus and find themselves in a situation where they may not survive. So we pray, Father, that through this broadcast and as we share with one another, that your word of God might be sown into the hearts of people, and those people who have not come to a saving faith in Jesus Christ might do so at this moment. And so we thank you for the opportunity, and we pray, Lord, that you'll continue to bless our time and our conversation together. And we pray, Father, that it would be pleasing to you. And I commit this in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Thank you, Michael. And can you share with our listeners again the nations that are kind of in the area that you, I think you may have mentioned some of them, but the nations that is in the area that you all cover as a ministry?
There would be...
Sorry, Michael, we're going to have to jump in here with a break, and we'll pick up right there and let you start on the other side. Our phone guest today is Michael Johnson. He's the president of the Slavic Gospel Association. We'll be right back.
Is it so crazy to believe? that you gave me the stars, put them out of my reach. Call me the waters a little too deep. Oh, I've never been so aware of my need. You keep on making me see it's way beyond me. Is this so crazy to believe that you gave me the stars, put them out of my reach? Call me the waters a little too deep. Oh, I've never been so aware of my need. Yeah, you keep on making me see it's way beyond me. It's way beyond me.
Music of Toby Mac, Beyond Me. Thanks for listening to the Hour of Intercession here on American Family Radio. Our phone guest today is Michael Johnson. He's the president of the Slavic Gospel Association. Okay, Michael, if you'll just pick up where we left off on the other before we went into the break there.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, you asked me the countries that we work in.
Yes, sir.
In the former Soviet Union. So we work in the countries of Armenia, Azerbaijan, Belarus, Georgia, Kazakhstan, Russia, Tajikistan, Turkmenistan, and Ukraine, and Uzbekistan.
Okay. And those are basically, I'm sorry, go ahead.
Yeah, go ahead.
Those are the countries that made up the former Soviet Union, pretty much, or is it?
For the most part, those would be considered the former Soviet Union. But as many of your listeners know, there were a number of satellite countries in Eastern Europe that were connected to it as well.
Okay.
And we also have a significant ministry among the Russian Jewish population in Israel, and probably almost a third of the population of Israel are indeed of Russian descent or connected to Russian families and speak the Russian language. Mm-hmm. So that's a significant opportunity for us as well.
Mm-hmm. Okay. So there have been just a huge influx of Jewish immigrants from the Russian area to go back to Israel then.
Yes, yes. And the people Russian Jews, typically, I think I heard a statistic, there's roughly 30,000 Israeli citizens who are professing Christians, and over 50% of them are Russian. And so it's the Russian population that appear to be, Russian Jewish population appear to be the more open to the gospel in Israel in these times.
Mm-hmm. You know, that's interesting. I think of what comes to my mind is, of course, the story behind the musical Fiddler on the Roof, of course, are Russian Jews that left Russia to head to Israel. So,
Oh, yeah. Yeah, they're wonderful people.
Hmm. Yeah. Well, and so you work significantly in Israel today, you said, in addition to working in all those nations you've mentioned.
That's correct.
Tell us a little bit more about the work you do in Israel.
Well, The essence of our ministry is training and then sponsoring and sending out and then equipping with resources for the purpose of church planting activities. So there is a growing population of Russian evangelical churches in Israel.
Mm-hmm.
And one of the things that they are longing for are strong Bible teachers. And so there's a school in Netanya called the Israel College of the Bible that has been praying for many years for somebody who can come in and establish a training program for the Russian Jewish population. And so we were able to, one of the seminaries that we sponsor in Ukraine, one of the graduates is a man named Dr. Oleg Karatky. We had sent him from Ukraine to Kazakhstan to run the seminary and Bible Institute that we sponsor there. And then 9 years later, we sent him down to Israel to start the program at the Israel College of the Bible that is recruiting and training Russian Jewish citizens as pastors. And then we're now sending him out to plant churches. And then we're helping them with resources, books, Bibles, and humanitarian aid to meet the needs of the people within their communities.
Well, can you share with us maybe some stories that illustrate how a ministry like the Slavic Gospel Association is making such a great impact in these areas?
Well, again, because of the relationship we have with these faithful churches, and it's you need to consider the fact that it's only been about 30 years when the wall came down, and these are churches whose fathers and grandfathers and pastors were taken off, many of whom were taken away in the middle of the night, put in trains to Siberia, and many of them gave up their lives for naming the name of Christ. So there's a tremendous commitment there. I mean, Jesus said, because I was persecuted, you'll be persecuted. And these people were persecuted for many, many years. And they understood that that was the price of for naming the name of Jesus during those years. So the church there is a very strong foundation. It's a foundation that is built upon tremendous sacrifice and persecution. And so its foundation is really strong. And the people in those countries recognize the fact that the wall came down for the purpose of opening those countries up so that they could hear the gospel of Jesus Christ and respond to it. And they take every advantage of every opportunity to do so. So the Slavic Gospel Association, we're essentially an equipping ministry, and the work is already taking place, the training and the evangelism and the humanitarian aid and all the things that the church is doing. We exist to kind of serve those churches, and again, my favorite verse when I think about this is in John 4, where Jesus says, "For in this the saying is true, one sows and another reaps. I sent you to reap that for which you have not labored. Others have entered into their labor." So we have the privilege of entering into the labor of these wonderfully committed churches to help them do more, to reach more people, to train more pastors, to sponsor more church planters so that the gospel can expand throughout those countries. So, for example, many of these churches have ministries in state-run orphanages. And the reason they do is because, you know, the directors of these orphanages see the positive impact when these church workers and these pastors come in and minister to the kids. So we have a program called Orphans Reborn, and it essentially equips those national workers to go into those orphanages every single week to build relationships with the children, to conduct Bible studies with them, to mentor them, because on their 18th birthday, when they age out of the orphanages, they're essentially lost and gone. And so so many of those kids, when they leave the orphanages, they're accepted into church homes and given a chance to start a life based upon a faith in Christ and some level of normality, which doesn't exist for most of those kids. So it's a wonderful ministry, and we do it in partnership with the national workers who are essentially doing the work. So that would apply to our humanitarian aid activity in the war zone of Ukraine, you know, helping the children who are suffering the ongoing effects of the Chernobyl nuclear disaster that happened back in 1986, which is still a problem. We have a huge church planting initiative going on in unreached people groups in north of the Arctic Circle in Far East Russia with airplanes and church planters that we have access to. And it's just a variety of different things that we're able to do. So we're essentially the largest outside strategic partner for these faithful churches, helping them to do what God has called them to do.
Okay. Well, now you alluded to Chernobyl. Would you take a moment to share with our listeners? There may be many listeners may know what you're referring to, but there are lots that may have never heard of Chernobyl, much less not know what it's about. Would you take a moment to share what happened?
Yeah. So in 1986, there was inadvertently an explosion that took place at the Chernobyl at a nuclear reactor, and that's located in Chernobyl, Ukraine, which is about an hour north of Kiev. And after the explosion took place, it essentially, the core is the thing that exploded, and the Russian government did everything they could to contain it, and they did a pretty good job in containing it to the best that they could. And so at the time, the wind was sort of blowing north in the direction of the country of Belarus, and they suffered the brunt of it. And so the half-life of radiation is 50 years or more. And so the impact of the radiation that was, they call it black rain, the impact of the black rain that fell across not only Belarus but other countries in Europe, as well as Russia and Ukraine, has been severe. And so it eventually enters into the gene pool of the people in those countries, particularly the children. It has a negative impact on their immune systems, and so there are many children who don't survive it. So, for example, in Belarus, we sponsor a camp where kids from all over these radiated zones come and enjoy summer camp in a non-radiated area. So on an ongoing basis, a good percentage of the kids that come are suffering some form of radiation poisoning. There's one session during the year where all the kids are suffering from radiation poisoning, and probably about 150 kids would attend that session. We lose about 10% of those kids every year. So people aren't talking about it like they used to, but we're seeing it firsthand, and the church is there to reach out and minister to these kids and these families in whatever way they can, both medically as well as spiritually.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Well, also, too, based on some of the information that I had the opportunity to, in learning more about your ministry, one of the statements indicated that in normal times, the average monthly salary in Russia is around $500. So would you say it's accurate to say that by and large, the majority of the population would be considered living in poverty?
Well, Russia is about 11 and a half time zones long, okay? And so the population about 145 million, and about two-thirds of the assets of that country or more are located in one city, and that's Moscow. So there has been some economic development that has taken place in Russia. It certainly isn't as significant as what has happened in China. But the economy is primarily based upon the price of oil, and they have significant reserve fossil fuel reserves in Russia. And since the price of oil has collapsed, you know, that is causing great economic hardship for the people in that country, as well as the surrounding countries as well. So there, you know, since the wall came down, and you know, obviously it was a centralized economy. Now it's a decentralized economy. People are still struggling, particularly when you get out into the regions, some of the rural regions, where they haven't experienced the economic growth that other parts of the country have experienced. So people are just kind of living hand to mouth. And so when they talk about $500 per month, that averages in what people are making in Moscow against the rest of the country. So, we have ministry all throughout those countries, and there's a significant percentage of the population are really struggling. Right. And now with the pandemic, it's just getting worse. There's no means of people are living in situations where they can't afford their apartments. In some cases, they're being kicked out of their homes. They don't have any means of income, and they're really struggling, which is where the church comes in and tries to help them.
Okay. Well, Michael, again, it's powerful to really see the picture that you're painting to help people better see what in the culture of these nations that you all are working in. If someone listening would like to get in touch with your ministry or learn more about what you do or support the ministry with their prayers as well as their finances, how could they get in touch with you?
Well, our website is sga.org, and the specific initiative that we've developed is a program called Christ Over COVID, Much Prayer, Much Power. Our founder, Peter Daneker, wrote a book called Much Prayer, Much Power. He was a prayer warrior, so much so that Billy Graham used to invite him to the Crusades so that he would do the all-night prayer vigils before the preaching took place the next day.
Mm-hmm.
And so so for us, as we thought about this, the first and foremost thing that we wanted to focus on was get people praying.
Mm-hmm.
And we have this international call to prayer that that we're calling for.
Mm-hmm.
And we are sharing reports and prayer requests on a regular basis with people. And so if you go to our the website, it's sga.org/COVID.
Mm-hmm.
And you can sign up for an opportunity to receive the prayer requests and the stories and the updates that we're getting from the field every single day.
Mm-hmm.
And then there are opportunities to financially give to the ministry.
Okay.
And specifically what we're doing is working through our church partners in those countries. We are providing food packets. We're providing medicine. We're providing hygiene items for people. And we're trying to do everything we can through those churches to reach out to those people both in word and deed. And because I believe that this represents the greatest opportunity for the proclamation of the gospel in modern times.
I'm going to have to jump in one more time with a break. Michael, we'll pick up there. Our phone guest today is Michael Johnson. He's the president of the Slavic Gospel Association. We'll be right back. Music from the Newsboys, He Reigns. Thanks for listening to the Hour of Intercession here on American Family Radio. Our phone guest today is Michael Johnson. He's the president of the Slavic Gospel Association. And Michael, just before the break, you were sharing about this time the opportunities to share the gospel that the church has at this time. Would you pick up where you left off there?
Yeah, I'm going to share another quick story that is part of our daily updates.
Okay.
And in this case, National Church Planting of Pastor has indicated poverty is already commonplace in one former Soviet country before COVID-19, before the COVID-19 pandemic began.
Mm-hmm.
Due to joblessness, many families were eating poorly and did not even have the bare essentials. An SGA-sponsored missionary pastor visited one woman who told him with tears, "I had all but forgotten the taste of bread." The pastor went on to report, "In connection with the coronavirus, the government has declared a state of emergency and closed everything except food stores and pharmacies. People have no jobs or no means to survive. Besides this, our national currency has fallen significantly in price, while food prices have begun to rise sharply. Some products have almost doubled in price. Many people are unable to purchase even the most essential items. We simply do not have enough money. God has not forgotten such people and sees their tears. He has raised up His church, both you and this missionary, to bring food and hope of the gospel when all else seems hopeless." And we're hearing across these countries in these towns and villages and areas that the church is the only one who is helping them.
Mm-hmm.
And so when we talk about the partnership that we have with those churches, they're doing everything they can with what they have. Mm-hmm. But the resources that we place into their hands, they go out into these cities, towns, and villages, and they know the people that are struggling. They enter into their homes. They enter into their lives. And they see this as an opportunity to share the love of Christ with them. And many of those people come to saving faith in Christ as a result of these acts of mercy.
Mm-hmm.
And so it's just a wonderful partnership that we have with them. And it's only going to get worse because, you know, the economy is going to continue to falter in those countries.
Mm-hmm.
And it's not just Russia and Ukraine. It's the Central Asian countries as well. Many of those countries are dominated by Islam.
Mm-hmm.
But the churches there reach out. They have a tremendous amount of courage. And the resources that we put into their hands, they're out ministering to people in need, both in word and deed as well.
Mm-hmm.
So God is on his throne in those countries. He's not forgotten these people. But again, he's opening hearts up to his word and his gospel, and many people are responding in their time of need.
Mm-hmm. I want to take a moment now specifically to pray for the church. Father, thank you, Lord, for the great work that you're doing through the Slavic Gospel Association, and thank you for the many, many ties they have with so many churches in the countries and nations where they are. Father, guide us as the church to rise up to the occasion as you would have us to reach out and to bless ministries like to give and support ministries like this and others, and help us just to be the church in all places where you've placed us, Lord, to show the world what the love of Jesus looks like in the midst of the pandemic that is touching the world in so, so many ways. But Lord, we know that greater is he that's in us than he that's in the world. Father, help us to know, Lord, that every single individual believer, there's something we can do to help share the gospel, to help reach out and share the love of Jesus Christ, to support the work of churches that are giving food and resources to people in great need. Help us to know, Lord, that this is the time for the church to be the church of Jesus Christ. This is our opportunity to do your work. Help us to be faithful to do it. We thank you and we praise you. In Jesus' name we do pray. Amen.
Amen, brother.
Michael, would you share with our listeners one more time, if they want to get in touch with your ministry, to support it, to learn more about it, how can they do that?
Well, our website is sga.org, and if you just go to the main website, it'll help you to understand the scope of our ministry. But in this particular situation, it's sga.org/COVID,
mm-hmm.
and this sort of describes and outlines the various aspects of this particular program that we developed during this time of crisis.
Mm-hmm. Okay. So if individuals wanted to give financially, they can help you to do what you're doing to help equip the churches
in the Slavic nations to do what you do.
Yes.
Okay. We in essence, are a conduit to these faithful churches who are reaching out to the people in their communities. And I just want to say something about them again.
Okay.
These people, it is in their nature that whoever they meet, their first inclination is to share the gospel with them.
Mm-hmm.
And again, they have such compassion for these people, particularly people who are struggling physically, but they also have a tremendous passion to see these people come to faith in Christ. And one more story, if I can give you,
if you don't mind. Yes, go right ahead.
So, Yuri is an SGA-sponsored missionary pastor who also works another job to make ends meet. He writes, "I work as a paramedic in a special brigade that transports patients with COVID-19 to a specialized hospital that is 62 miles from our region. I'm extremely busy. There are not enough doctors, and we lack good protective clothing. But even in such circumstances, there's great opportunities to tell people about Christ and God's will for their lives. A few days ago, during the transportation of a patient to the hospital, I witnessed to the man about Christ during the hour-long journey. Before reaching the destination, the sick person prayed to the Lord and said that he was no longer afraid of anything. I hope this person will be saved, both physically and spiritually." So every opportunity that these people have to share the gospel, they take advantage of it. And so, because ultimately, everybody's struggling, and people are struggling overseas, and they're struggling here. And every one of your listeners, I'm sure, knows have people in their lives who are unsaved. And they need to understand, and we all need to understand, that people are in a difficult place. They're questioning their lives. They're questioning their meaning. They're questioning their own mortality. And we need to share the gospel with them. We need to share the love of Christ with them so that ultimately they can spend eternity with Christ, with us, and with Jesus, because the alternative is not good.
That's right. That's right.
It's a life. It's an eternity of separation from Christ. And I plead and beseech your listeners to be sensitive to the fact that people are questioning and they're opening and they're open to the gospel in these days.
That's right. That's right. Michael, would you take time now specifically? There may be one or many people that are listening that aren't saved, or they're not sure about their salvation, and they too are, as you mentioned, afraid of what's going on and are feeling hopeless. Now, would you invite them to give their lives to Christ today?
I will do so. I gave my life to Christ when I was 19 years old, and obviously it was the best decision of my life, and God has guided me and led me ever since. And I can't believe that He's put me in a position where I'm able to be a leader in this international ministry. And it's only God that put me here. Mm-hmm. And for those who aren't saved, I just want to share this share an opportunity for you to pray with me and search your heart, search yourself, understand the fact that you are separated from Christ, and it's only through Christ that you can be reconciled to God. So pray this prayer. I admit that I am a sinner and need your forgiveness. I believe that Jesus Christ died in my place, paying the penalty for my sins. I'm willing right now to turn my sin, turn from my sin and accept Jesus Christ as my personal Savior and Lord. I commit myself to you, ask you to send the Holy Spirit into my life to fill me and take control to help me become the kind of person you want me to be. Thank you, Father, for loving me. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. Amen. Thank you, Michael, for taking the time to do that. And let me say to our listeners, if you just prayed that prayer with Michael and you gave your life to Jesus Christ, we invite you to get in touch with us. My email is jparker@afa.net. Again, that's jparker@afa.net. We'd like to be in touch with you, as well as share some materials that can help you to really begin to grow up and grow strong in your walk and relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ. So we look forward to hearing from you. Once again, the email, jparker@afa.net. Well, Michael, our time is almost gone. Would you share with our listeners a little bit more about just the tragedies behind, like you all help ministries that touch many of the many orphans in the Slavic countries. Would you share a little bit more about the many unwanted children that end up, unwanted is in the sense that the society may say they're not wanted. Would you share what you're doing with the orphans?
Well, again, as I mentioned earlier, we have workers, we sponsor national church planting church workers to go into those orphanages on a regular basis. And there are different kinds of orphans. There are true orphans whose parents no longer are living, and they're dropped off of the orphanages. Some of them are adopted out of the orphanages, but many of them grow up in the orphanages. And there was a survey done when the wall came down on the 18th birthday. Roughly 97% of the kids are lost. That number has changed over the years to about 87% of the kids are lost. So the majority really don't have a lot of hope because they're looked at like they're social pariahs. The other ones are social orphans, and those are children that are taken from dysfunctional, violent, and alcohol-ridden homes and put into these orphanages. And because of the financial problems they're having, many of those orphanages are closed down. Those kids are being sent back into those homes, and they desperately want to go back to the orphanages. So the local workers are visiting those children, dropping off food packs to them, trying to minister to them in any way they can. Mm-hmm. It's just a really difficult life, and they need a lot of prayer. And again, we're through our program, we're ministering to thousands and thousands of children on an ongoing basis by supporting workers who are going in there every single week, sharing the Lord with them, leading many to faith in Christ. And because of their impact, the directors of these orphanages love it when they come because they see the positive impact that it has on the life of those children. Mm-hmm. Because what also happens is that the media comes in, the Russian mafia come in, they come in and try to recruit the kids as well to a life of crime. Mm-hmm. So in many cases, it's a struggle for the heart and soul of those children in those state-run facilities.
Mm-hmm. And of course, some of the literature refer to the fact that, sadly, many of the children, as you just mentioned, get involved in crime, and then some get pulled into human trafficking and or prostitution as well. So,
absolutely, yeah.
And so there's a great need for the church to really be praying much for the work of the church in these areas then as well, right?
Yeah, absolutely.
Okay.
And again, the daily prayer updates are just an incredible blessing, and because of the stories that we're able to share about what God is doing, both the need as well as the ministry of the churches, and we have specific prayer requests, and we also have a little devotional part of it as well. So it's everybody gets, you know, it's all calibrated to the time zone. So 7 o'clock every morning, people receive it in their email, and as they're starting their day and working through, you know, their time with God, I think people would be really blessed to see what is happening throughout these countries. There's a lot of difficulty, there's a lot of pain, but God is in control, and these faithful churches are ministering in word and deed, and God is lifting the church up in those countries in this difficult time.
Mm-hmm. Okay, if you had to mention, Michael, one or two specific things you'd like to ask listeners to really pray for you and the ministry of the Slavic Gospel Association about, what would those one or two things be?
Well, certainly wisdom, that God would give us wisdom as we navigate our way through this pandemic, and that God would provide the resources to be able to equip these churches with what they need to minister to as many people as possible.
Mm-hmm.
But we want to get as many people praying as possible, because God is in control of all this.
That's right.
And
that's right.
The COVID-19 has no control over God. God has total control over it, mm-hmm. and the entire universe. And we want God's will to be played out over this crisis, and we want to see more and more people come to faith in Christ.
Amen. Amen. Well, thank you so much, Michael, for being with us here on the Hour of Intercession.
Thank you, Pastor. I really appreciate it.
All right. And we want to encourage every single listener, pray much for the ministry of the Slavic Gospel Association. Thanks for listening. Join us again next time for the Hour of Intercession.
The views and opinions expressed in this broadcast do not necessarily reflect those of the American Family Association or American Family Radio.